O God, our shepherd, our gate, our lamb, in the resurrection of your Son, you have brought us into your pasture. Guide us to your clear streams and tame the wolf at our gate. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome to this weekly prayer podcast of the North Alabama Conference of the United Methodist Church. I am Bill Morgan, longtime United Methodist minister. I date way back from my wet behind the ears days to now well into geezerhood. So by the grace of God and the invitation of Lynn Cosby, I'm glad to explore some dimensions and directions of our United Methodist Book of Worship prayer for the fourth week of Easter, sometimes called Good Shepherd Sunday, proclaimed a number of years ago as Vocations Sunday by then Pope Paul VI. Part of the 7 weeks, the 50 days of Easter. So let's hear it again. O God, our shepherd, our gate, our lamb, in the resurrection of your Son, you have brought us into your pasture. Guide us to your clear streams and tame the wolf at our gate. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alleluia. This prayer is full of biblical life images relating to shepherds and sheep and pastures and wolves. You more melodious and poetic among us may hear the makings of an anthem, hymn, contemporary worship song, but I don't think it's going to become a song easy to sing or dance to. I don't think it's going to edge out the Lord's Prayer, the Serenity Prayer, or the Day by Day, Three Things We Pray prayer on the chart. Still, particularly dancing between John 10, I Am the Good Shepherd, and the 23rd Psalm, The Lord is My Shepherd, there is a cluster of related images for our faith and lives, strung like pearls on a necklace here. Again, shepherd, gate, lamb, pasture, clear streams. Sounds a little bit like the makings for a sweet Hallmark card, but in the wisdom of the writer of this prayer, wolf. Well, mercifully for you and the time allotted to me today by the Lord and Lynn, I won't get to all of these, but for sure I want to talk about shepherds and a bit about green pastures and finally a bit about wolves. Shepherd, well, there is not a time I can remember without a clear picture of Good Shepherd Jesus. Lamb in one hand, staff in the other, with sheep close at his side. As a child, most all Sundays, I sat between my grandparents in the dark paneled sanctuary of Inslee First United Methodist Church. The incense of candle wax, my grandmother's white shoulders perfume, and grandfather's Menon skin bracer mingled. During those early days, I was allowed through the sermon to quietly let my M&Ms one by one melt in my mouth. Don't chew them. On the dark paneled wall behind the pulpit, there was an old painting of Good Shepherd Jesus, cradling a lamb in his right arm, his protective staff in his left, again, flanked by trusting, happy-seeming, woolly sheep. I think it was probably 10 feet high. It was tall. It was an old painting. It was a long vertical rectangle with a rounded top. inset, framed in like a glass, stained glass window. From preschool to junior high, every time I was in the sanctuary, safely shepherded between my grandparents, with an array of preachers coming and going every 4 years or so, there was the constant presence of Good Shepherd Jesus looking over the pastor's shoulders as they spoke. In time, I would learn in many ways how pastors, we pastors, in some ways are to be shepherds. I'm not sure I knew what burdened and heavy laden with a load of care meant, but I early heard the shepherd would help me when I had a load of care. Indeed, a buffet of loads of care have come my way over the years. With a bunch of yes buts and clarifications, I found that to be true. Even when I have my questions and doubts, and I have plenty, I have not been able to shake the shepherd's hold on me. Even when my holding on was tentative at best, that sense of the shepherd holding on has abided. No doubt you have heard the phrase, faith is first caught before it is taught. Didn't know it then, still figuring it out and marveling about it more than a half century later. But I caught and I was taught the faith in that sanctuary and in those Sunday school classes. There were teaching pictures of Good Shepherd Jesus, pictures easeled on the little tables in those classrooms. Early on, some flannel story boards about shepherds and sheep. Awkward, left-handedly, I made my share of cotton ball lambs. Didn't realize it then. Only through the grace of looking back, the wisdom that comes from seeing how our past really enriches and blesses our present. But now I look back and see how formative those Sunday school teachers were. They, for the most part, were turned out, as I see now, were genteel, slightly subversive. Those Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Woodall and Larkin and Yerby, and I could name a whole bunch more. It was a time of racial strife growing up, Birmingham, Alabama, all around. George Wallace strutting around, bloviating. I realized later on there were some blowhards on the church official board about who could come to that church and who couldn't come to that church. But those teachers singing with us about Jesus loving all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, precious in his sight, gently implanted, shepherded the seeds of faith in me, understanding that the God of Jesus was about including, not excluding people. So many of those people at church now, I realize, were personifications of the shepherd. My grandparents and many, many others in my family. God knows how many groups and individuals we humans otherwise, in our efforts to deflect and project all our ill at easeness, diseaseness within ourselves. But those pearls of faith, first caught by us, later taught to us about a shepherd God out to include us, not to exclude us, still give Easter new life, hope to us in our world with how we treat people, do our work with our vocations and life in the community. We could talk a lot more about that had we the time. Easter is not just a day that everyone that comes to church sometime comes the same time. It's a 50-day, 7-week season, for all the days of our life, not just for that great hope beyond this life. So, okay, here at this point, what's your shepherd story? Where are the places you caught the seeds of your faith? Where did you see and smell and hear something that made you, as you look back on it, know that God's presence and care was there? Whose faces do you see? Who were personifications of a bit of the shepherd for you? Well, a few words about pastures. The Lord is our shepherd, we're told. He leads us into green pastures, still waters, also known as clear streams in our prayer today. I guess most of us who are citified with little, if any, feet on the ground experience with shepherd's sheep or pastures don't have a lot of firsthand experience, though I'm told one has to be careful where one steps in a pasture. So how is this linked to our real lives? Well, here's a quick try to link some things. Kingdom of God and pastures. Most of us don't do kingdoms any more than we do pastures. Yet Jesus calls us to pray for God's kingdom to come here on earth like heaven. God's kingdom that's coming, that's near, yet already somehow in the midst and muddle and mess of us. Kingdom, pasture, they point to God's mysterious reality in which we live and move and have our being and breathing, like birds flying in the sky and fish swimming in the water. We humans live and breathe in God's reality, kingdom, pasture. Sacramental, outward, visible sign of inward, invisible grace. We talk of a sacramental view of life, the Celtic portrayal of all the thin places where the holy and the ordinary weave together. The Holy Communion, a food shared among people who care about each other, packing meals to travel somewhere in the world for hungry people. Remembrance of our baptism with an awakening or muscle-comforting shower or immersion of a bath. Whatever else worship and prayer are, solitary, small group of two or three together, or cloud of witnesses together, they are efforts to question, explore, even celebrate how, despite appearances to the contrary, we live in this holy web of being. Our Book of Worship, if we had time to do that, that would be a wonderful thing to do some study of. It has all kinds of occasions in ordinary lives for us to stop and to pray. So with your Jesus glasses on, look at the green pastures, the streams of your life. Where are the places, the hills, the beaches, the backyards, the houses, the rooms, the gatherings of people that are thin places for you? Places and people where at least for a moment you can almost believe that you are living and moving and having your being and breathing in God's pasture, kingdom, reality. Where are those places? Well, this all is, I think, on a sort of kind, pleasurable note to think about these things, but what about this mention of wolves? The strange phrase, tame the wolves at our gate. We have tender, lovely images of Good Shepherd God nurturing, guiding us in well-groomed pastures. But I know on one of the trips in which it turned out for me to get to go to the Holy Land, seeing a real shepherd there one day in the side road of a little village, this shepherd was leathery and wizened and wiry, dusty clothes hanging off him. The sheep were droopy, fleece matted, scrawny. He was not a photo op, but a reminder life is tough out there, even for shepherds and their sheep, and those shepherds with those sheep out there on the Judean wilderness with those scraggly bushes and those deep gulches called valleys of the shadow remind us that even with a shepherd, even with the life that we have been provided, there's wolves out there. But yet, as we think about that, a phrase comes to my mind. We have often heard wolves in sheep clothing. But it's occurred to me along the way, what about sheep in wolf's clothing? Are there ever scary things that happen to us and they're real, they're wolf-like, yet as we lean into them, we find something It's not a sheep, but something, an opportunity for our lives to grow deeper, our lives to grow closer to each other and God. I think about some of the tough things in our lives, losing someone we love. I recall, I'll never forget, when my dad died after a short illness. I was 24 and he was 48, and I was actually in seminary in a course on Job, and was able to explore how Job and Jesus do not sidestep the hard things in life. As we have what may even be called faithful anger and questions with God while life hurts so much, is shorter than we want. Anger at life, even at God, can be an honest, faithful response. Some call it faithful raging. Yet the point is, if we're going to rage because life hurts and is unfair and people suffer, we have to somehow have a sense of gratitude for life at all, the mystery of it, beyond our doing. And so in that more chastened state, we come through sometimes the horror of loss, of grief, with a deeper sense of gratitude for the lives and the love that we do have together. Many of us have been through tough situations and relationships with people and realize that we hurt each other, can be hurt by each other. And so forgiveness sometimes is a hard won thing. And it's like being scarred. But we're told that scars are even stronger than healthy tissue. And yet things that are wolf-like in our lives sometimes turn out to be the places where we grow closer to each other and being the person that God wants us to be, in a sense of God with us, even when it's tough on the shepherd and tough on the sheep. So today, thank you for thinking about these things with me for a few minutes. I hope that God will bless you and guide you if you're dealing with some wolves in your life. But in all of this, we're thankful. Here's the prayer again. O God, our shepherd, our gate, our lamb, in the resurrection of your Son, you have brought us into your pasture. Guide us to your clear streams and tame the wolf at our gate. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Alleluia.